Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 21st of April. And we are going to do our open line, because if we don't do it now, April will just be gone, and we won't be able to do the April open line. And that would be unfortunate, because we get suggestions from you about programs that we ought to do. As well we should. That's why we do the open line. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is the number. Chrissy is answering phone calls, and we'll just, you know, get as many as we can. But let me remind you that you're always welcome to send us emails and let us know about programs, and you do this on a regular basis, I know. So if you can't get through today, we have email addresses, and I'll give them to you a little bit later so that you can send your thoughts our way. 800-486-8655. We start with True on the road. Hi, True.
Hi.
Hi.
The reason I'm calling is one thing that I have not heard discussed on many occasions where the topic has been health care costs is getting the average American to have reasonable expectations of what health care can do for them and should do for them. I feel that, I've got lots of friends in the healthcare industry. And what I hear them talk about is people coming in being unwilling to take any responsibility for their own health is one problem. So they come in and they say, well, here's my problem, fix it. But they want it fixed by a surgery or by a pill. They're not willing to improve their own health by diet and exercise and other lifestyle choices. Then the other thing that they see that sounds to me totally unreasonable is end-of-life expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, and some people are going to call this rationing health care, and that's not what I mean at all. There comes a point in time where everyone's going to die. And when my father died, he had a severe stroke, and he had talked to us ahead of time saying, if I'm ever in this situation, I don't want to live. If I don't have quality of life, let me go. And so when the doctors came to us telling us how bad his situation was, we said, then, you know, just keep him comfortable and let him go. And the doctor said, okay, I have no problem doing this for you, but I'm surprised how quickly you came to this decision. Can you tell me? Because most people can't. And the thing was, we talked to our dad ahead of time. He made a point of talking to us. What did he want? And so I think our society needs to learn when it's appropriate to let go, instead of doing everything possible for someone in their last years, you're doing them a favor often to say, okay, enough is enough, because there's pain involved in long-term dialysis. There's pain involved in doing CPR if somebody codes in a hospital. You know, do they have quality of life if you bring them back, or are you doing them a favor by letting them go?
Right, and you need to make those wishes clear and legal at times, too.
Right, so people need to know how to make the right choices when that time comes, instead of, you have to do everything for Grandma, we want to keep her alive. Well, if Grandma can't respond anymore, you know, is that what Grandma wants?
Right. I think we do need to do some shows on end-of-life care. We've done some, but making those kinds of decisions would be worthwhile for us to spend time on. Thank you.
There's a huge amount of money.
Right, huge amount.
People talk about the cost of health care being salaries and insurance.
Right.
But a huge part goes into that end-of-life care for people that aren't going to get better.
Yeah, what was the figure we just heard last hour? 28% of Medicare funds go to the last year of life. And it's only going to get more money because they're going to come up with all of these ways for us to keep living longer. I don't know if our health will be better in those final years or year, but there'll be ways to prolong life. All right. Thanks, True. We're reminded that we need to do more programs on this issue. Leslie is next from Eau Claire. Hi, Leslie.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm wondering, have you ever done a show on the fair tax legislation that's been proposed?
Fair tax. I'm not sure we have.
Okay. It's basically legislation that proposes basically removing the income tax entirely and replacing it with the national sales tax.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big supporter of it, and the reason why, it's because right now we're basically being punished for earning. Instead, I think we should be punished for extravagant spending. Basically, any non-essential spending would be taxed instead of earning. I think it would give a chance to let people basically earn money, build it up, and build themselves up for nothing, And I'd like to hear the drawbacks and the benefits to that.
Okay.
Because I almost never hear it talked about.
And do you know of a strong proponent for that tax?
I'm sorry?
Do you know of somebody who champions the cause?
There's a couple senators. If you look it up on the Wikipedia page, I'm sure they tell you, but I don't know anybody specifically.
Okay. Well, that'd be an interesting show. No doubt about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Frank in Madison. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I want to thank you for many fine programs.
Thank you, Frank.
I have a suggestion for a program on two combined topics, essentially peak oil and climate change. They're intimately associated with one another. And, of course, you've done programs on what happened in the Gulf, the Deepwater Horizon tragedy, and so on, which shows us our sort of really liable dependency on oil and what the dangers of continued dependency would be. And then, of course, climate change comes from our energy economy. And Lester Brown, who's come out with a recent book, points out that it's not just oil that we're running out. More crucially, we're running out of time. And so he's written a book about, he's written many, about our current climate crisis. And a journalist, Mark Hertzgarg, has also written a book called Hot, which deals with the climate crisis in the energy economy. So they might be good guests. And then I would like to suggest, although I don't have a guest, that you have a program, as I've often suggested before, on the culture of unreason, because we conduct these political and policy debates often on spurious assumptions and what are false facts, and how did we get there instead of thinking rationally and attempting to come to reasonable conclusions based upon facts. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. And Chrissy did book a guest on Monday on why we do not believe science when we are confronted with fact. So it's right up your alley of what you would like. Chris Mooney is the guest, has an article in the current issue of Mother Jones. So it's for you, Frank. We didn't even know you wanted it, but there it is. Okay, that's Monday at 10 o'clock, following all things political. Craig in Onalaska. Hi.
Good morning. I would suggest a show on a company called Cella Energy, C-E-L-L-A. It's a company in England that has supposedly had a breakthrough with hydrogen storage for use in vehicles. Supposedly, they have a way of storing energy now that allows hydrogen to be used in any internal combustion engine, and they say that they can produce the fuel at $1.50 a gallon for U.S. consumption. So I think that would make an interesting program.
All right, sure it would. Thank you, Craig.
Yeah, thanks.
Uh-huh. By Adam in Southeast Wisconsin. Hi.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think a big problem that is not addressed a lot is that, you know, a lot of government programs are put into place for cost savings, but the problem is a lot of people do abuse them. For instance, I'm a garbage man at a local municipality, and our municipality offers brush pickup. You know, we have a recycle yard, and yet I would say probably 20% of the cans have sticks and leaves in them, you know, and that costs city money, bottles, plastics. There's a lot of people that don't even put out recycle bins. And, you know, that's just a small instance, and it's everywhere around the board. I mean, as far as even snow plowing, a lot of people don't even know that, you know, when you blow your snow from your driveway into the street, well, we got to go back and clean that up yet. And a lot of people don't even know that there are ordinances out there all over the state that it's illegal to blow your snow in the street, and a lot of people just are unaware of it.
So when you find all those things that are recyclable in regular trash cans, where are they going? Just to landfills?
Correct.
Yeah, which is not a good thing.
No, and I mean, if you go out to the landfill on a regular basis, I mean, you wouldn't believe how quickly it grows and how quickly it changes even on a daily basis.
Oh, I would imagine. I think about that every now and then because I don't know where all this junk goes. Adam, I think that's a great idea for a show. There are many parts to this show, too. Where all our junk goes, why we're not educated, what's happening with funding for recycling, et cetera, things that we can do to recycle. It's a good idea.
Well, and when I do talk to people, friends of mine and stuff like that about it, you know, the big argument always is, well, I pay my taxes, I should be able to throw away whatever I want. But the problem is that it costs a lot more to do that. It's bad for the environment, and that just seems to be the mentality. But, I mean, if you were to go by that mentality, you pay your taxes, you know, you shouldn't be getting tickets from police officers, which, you know, I suppose I don't know how the solution could be, was be stronger enforcement or better education. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Adam. Good suggestion. We'll be on it.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye. Bye. Rick in Sussex. Hi, Rick.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to see a show done on lobbying and the effect of special interest groups, just exactly how they function, what is legal, what's not legal, accountability, and oversight. It just looks like it's a big factor in everything that's going on, but we really don't know how it's controlled or how it works.
All right. Good idea, Rick.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your call. Joe in Oshkosh. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Well, I have the perfect show for you, at least in title. The Dogs of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, my gosh. We'll book it tomorrow.
Now, in all seriousness, he did have at least two dogs. One of them was named Fido, and the other, when he was in the White House, was called Jip. So that's my suggestion.
Okay, Joe. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, bye. Brad in Jefferson. Hi, Brad.
Good morning. I'd like to see a show on how to better limit conflicts of interest in government. It seems like over the years we've kind of loosened up what we define as bribery. We also need to control, like, the revolving door between regulators, officials, and business interests, corporations. And I was thinking some good people for that would be locally, like Mike McCabe or Beverly Spear of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, or maybe Jim Hightower, Greg Palast, or even Ralph Nader.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We haven't had Hightower on in a long time. We should have Hightower on. He's always a fun guest. Great. Thank you very much for the call. Bud in Wausau. Hi, Bud.
Good morning. I apologize that I don't have all the information about the subject that I'm going to suggest, but I'm sure it will be easily obtained. I'm a subscriber to the National Geographic magazine, and about, it's been within the past year at any rate, article about the Devil's Lake, North Dakota. That's a lake that's spring-fed, apparently, and continually being fed, and there's no natural outlet, a river, and the communities surrounding that lake are being flooded out. I guess the government is paying people to take their homes and so on. There's such a vast shortage of fresh water in this world, and especially in places like California and our country and so on, that it would be interesting for somebody, an expert on that North Dakota situation of Devil's Lake, to be on the air and explain exactly what's happening and what they're looking forward to as an outcome of the situation there.
Do you know about when it ran in the National Geographic?
It's been within the past year, I'm okay. Sure, by looking online. You know, and I apologize because I didn't realize your program was going to be on today, so I didn't have time to do all this research.
But
I'm not the best one to manipulate the computer either, but I know all this stuff is available. In fact, but there certainly would be somebody in government or an expert in hydrology or whatever that could tell the story of what's happening there.
All right. Thank you, Bud. Interesting suggestion.
Very interesting to hear people.
All right. Thank you. Andy from Wood County. Hi, Andy.
Good morning. There's an architect named Ross Chapin who has written a book on pocket neighborhoods. It's called Creating Small-Scale Community in a Large-Scale World. And he has developments in, I think, Massachusetts and Washington. And he's now starting one with a different developer in Indianapolis, and that one is in Carmel. And it's called Inglenook, and it's on 27 acres there. And there are all these homes that are designed for empty nesters, and they're in, you know, like cluster communities and all, you know, socially conscious. I think he would make a really nice guest. I don't know if he does interviews, but I know the Carmel development is www.inglenook.com.
I-N or E-N?
I-N.
I-N, inglenook.com. Are you moving there?
No, well, it's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
We're looking into it. There was a big article in USA Today on these cottages, and it was a little difficult to try to get a hold of him. But the Inglenook one sounds, you know, quite fascinating. And their homes are the little front porches and the garages in the back, and they're just really neat little places. So I thought it would be nice. I know the book is out there. I haven't gotten it yet, but it's called Pocket Neighborhoods.
All right. We will definitely look into that. It sounds fascinating.
Okay. You have such a nice show.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. Our number is 800-486-8655, and we have an open line going on for April. Today, Ara and Chrissy's answering phone calls. We're getting suggestions of programs you want to hear for our hours from 9 in the morning until 11. We've had some good ones today. We'll be following through on them. So give us more good suggestions and we'll follow through on yours. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to your phone calls, Maddie in Waupaca. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to have a show about high gas prices, and it seems like they want to blame President Obama, and maybe that's why his rating is going down. But I saw a show on ABC News last week that there's plenty of oil, that the cost, the problem is speculators, and I'd like you to do a show on the role of the speculators and how that works, and if there's anything that can be done about it. It doesn't seem like they should be able to hold the whole country hostage. And one more suggestion would be a show on gasification plants for biomass for garbage.
Okay. All right, Maddie, thank you. Larry in Sheboygan is next. Hi, Larry. And we have a couple lines open.
Hey, Kathleen, good morning. How
Hi.
Are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Good. I heard of something last year that really is fascinating. And have you ever heard of HAARP, H-A-A-R-P?
H-A-A-R-P, no.
Yeah, you can click that, and it's even in the encyclopedia. It's been around for 40 years. HAARP is high energy frequency radio waves, and it's controlled by the military, and they can really control weather events with it, which is absolutely amazing, like earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes, and it's considered the most powerful military weapon in the world. Jesse Ventura recently went up there, former governor, mayor, Navy SEAL, and he was denied entrance, even with those credentials. But it shows the 300 towers. It's up in the northern hemisphere, and they can channel these powerful energy waves and create disturbances underground or above the earth. And it's very fascinating and amazing, but if you look at it, it's really interesting and something I think we should all be concerned about or at least look into.
And why would they want to do this?
It's considered the most powerful military weapon in the world. They can control weather events.
Yes.
Anywhere.
Okay.
And there's 8 of these around the world. One is in Russia, and they're in several other countries, but we have the most powerful one. And to me, it was just mind-boggling reading about this, but we've had all of this strange weather going on, and you know, you can take it for what it's worth, but just look it up. It's in the encyclopedia. They show you the pictures, and one of the real experts to be on here would be Jesse Ventura, if you could get him to talk about it.
All right, Larry. Thank you for the call. We go to June from Shawano. Hi, June.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, June.
Did you enjoy Washington?
Oh, we had a fabulous trip. Thanks for asking. It was great.
my suggestions are an economist, Nobel winner Joe Stiglitz. He has just written a book called Free Fall. And for the history that both you and I enjoy, I would suggest a new book by Adam Hochschild. And it's called To End All Wars.
Okay.
And it's a similar note to the wonderful book by Ray McKay, All Quiet on the Western Front.
Mm.
I think this is a subject that has always bothered me. How many people died in that war, even outdoing the Civil War? And I think it would be a good interview.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very good, June. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
We go to Don next in West Salem. Hi, Don.
Yes, hi. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Live and kicking, not high and not often, but still going forward.
Well, all right.
Got several ideas, actually. One, the main one, was back in the 70s during the gas shortage, around the time they came up with tanks where you could run your vehicles either on gasoline or propane. They had a conversion kit that would go on to carburetors of cars.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a toggle switch back then that you could flip so you could run it on gasoline, or you could, they had a tank that had either iron hydride or titanium hydride in the gas tank, or if it was a truck like Coke used to have, the tanks looking like a Coke can on the top of their cabs. But you could, they also had something where you could run on hydrogen. Out west in Utah, Nevada, Arizona, someplace, they had an entire town that ran on hydrogen. You could buy a brand new Ford Granada for $10,000 that came with the conversion kit. They had big bulk tanks in the town. You'd pull up to it like a gas station, fill your car up with the hydrogen, and you could drive, depending upon the size tank you had. You'd start your car in cold weather with gasoline, and as soon as it was warmed up enough, then you could switch over and run on hydrogen. When you ran on hydrogen, there was virtually no wear and tear on the engine. The oil never wore out. It stayed clean. And nowadays, they're talking about wind turbines. They're talking about, you've got all these ocean currents where mm-hmm. they're talking about building generators that would run off of these ocean currents. Put some of these rich people building factories that build some of these turbines, whatever, to make the hydrogen. And you could start converting all the cars in this country so they could run on gasoline. You wouldn't have to buy a $25,000, $30,000 car, $40,000 car that runs on the way they're making the hydrogen now, where it's, you pump the hydrogen
right.
in and then you run it that way.
All right, Don, we'll write that down of a show to do. I know people are profoundly interested in energy programs, and I think there have been suggestions before of doing shows on this form of energy. So thank you very much for your call. Chris is next from Key Wascom. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
I'm talking about Wookiee Foot Charities. And what it is it's a band based out of Minnesota, out of the Twin Cities. And about 3 years ago, they started traveling the world to third world countries and, you know, all over the world. And they pretty much started their own charity. They build schools and help orphanages and, you know, help to clear out minefields and stuff.
Mm.
And that's Wookiee Foot, W-O-O-K-I-E
Foot.
Okay.
And you'd want to talk to probably Megan Hayek.
Okay.
But, you know, they do a lot of great stuff around the world.
Oh, that's great. All right, Chris. Thank you.
Thank you.
Barb in Menominee Falls. Hi.
Good morning. I would like to have someone from Marquette. I'm not sure if Father Wild is still at the school or not, or maybe the new president we could talk with. And I'm concerned with military values over conscience. You know, we have unjust wars going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, and yet Marquette continues to have officer military recruiting and training centers on their campus. And I would just like to hear why they do it. Why is it acceptable for Marquette to have the officer training at the school?
All right, Barb. Thank you.
Thank you.
John in La Crosse. Hi, John.
Hey, Kathleen. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. I'd like to hear something on the government recently passed a ban on slaughter hoses for horses. What they were doing is we were slaughtering horses for food production in other countries. And they stopped doing that, and now there's this abundance of unwanted horses. And I don't hear anybody really addressing the issue. And there's a study the American Veterinary Medical Society had put out on the population rise and the effects of the population rise, and it gives a pretty detailed report on what is happening with the horses and the horse population in this country. I'd like to hear a little bit more on that.
Where are these horses?
They're basically all over the country. They were sent to certain slaughterhouses across the United States, and now that they put a ban on these slaughterhouses, I guess there's only one existing slaughterhouse left in Texas, and that's due to be closed down here pretty soon, too. But it just raises the population, and nobody's really – I haven't heard much on this issue. And I know that I'm in the nonprofit business myself. I do horse rescue. And I do know that the horse rescues that are out there right now are you know, pretty much, you know, they're overwhelmed as far as funding goes, and trying to, you know, do something for these horses. So anything to kind of get the word out, the study put out some significant numbers. And, you know, I mean, we're talking these slaughterhouses would kill like 100,000 horses annually. And, you know, I'm just kind of going off the ballpark from what I remember. But, you know, there's a huge amount of horses every year that are, you know, unaccounted for that mostly, you know, they're sent back over to Mexico or Canada now. And a lot of them, before we'd regulate this, and now they're carrying diseases over with them because there's no regulation as far as when they leave the country. So it might be an interesting topic for a show someday.
Yeah. If you want to send us some information, John, I know very little about all of this. So if you want to send us something via email, we'll give you the address later on. And we'll learn more. Thanks very much for your call. We go next to Scott in Green Bay. Hi, Scott.
Green Bay? No.
Yep.
La Crosse.
Oh, La Crosse. Oh, they got the wrong. Oh, that's right. Hi, Scott in La Crosse.
You got me anyway.
Hi, we're happy. We do. Hi, Scott.
I have a guest who I think would probably be willing to come on, and is an interesting guy in his own right, but has a really, really interesting idea. T. Boone Pickens.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him the other day discussing, with Ted Turner. I guess there are a couple of crotchety old brilliant guys who have made a lot of money doing a lot of interesting things. And what T. Boone Pickens has a proposal for right now, and I think this is really interesting because the theme of a lot of what your calls on this show so far have been about the energy crisis and the prices of fuel and all that. T. Boone Pickens says that the United States is the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. He wants to, there's actually a bill in Congress that he is very seriously promoting that would pretty much give a seed money start to developing a natural gas infrastructure for us to convert our vehicles over to. And it's one of those things like everything else, including you know, hydrogen or anything else, everybody says, you know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? We don't have the infrastructure. And he was pretty funny. He said, well, you know, if Henry Ford had said, well, you know, there's not really an infrastructure to sell gasoline right now. This is just a bad idea. We just walk away from the automobile. There we would have been.
Right.
So he it sounds like he's very serious about this. It's sort of, you know, like he's not a young guy anymore. And it sounds like it would be the capstone of what of his career. But if you could get him to come on and talk about natural gas and with this audience, I think the callers would be, you know, wanting to explore all the
angles, yes,
including the problems, the, you know, the dirtiness of it, if there is, if it's dirtier than petroleum. As somebody who grew up near a refinery, I can tell you it ain't dirtier than what you get coming out of those stacks. So anyhow,
all right, Scott.
I think you'd be a good one.
I think you're right.
Terrific.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks, Jim in Polk County. Hi, Jim.
Hi. We got all this health care and cutting, and I think most of the population does not understand Medicaid, how it's funded, that it's a joint federal-state effort, and it's different than Medicare and who is covered.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be good to get somebody on from the Department of Health and discuss the funding of it. And also, we should go into maybe with the Wisconsin Nursing Home Association and discuss how Medicaid affects them, because I think over 60% of the people in,
yes,
nursing homes are Medicaid. And when people go to cut things, they got to realize that they're kicking grandma and auntie out of the nursing home,
yeah,
or making life worse. And even it wouldn't even hurt to have somebody discuss Medicare, because a lot of people that aren't on it don't have an idea how it works either. And that when you get older, if you, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people you can get on from that, from AARP or somebody like that, to discuss how Medicare works.
All right. Good suggestions. And I thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. John in Appleton. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call,
uh-huh,
Kathleen.
Sure.
Say, I have a great suggestion, basically about breast cancer awareness in young women. My daughter, 25 years old, just had a double mastectomy on Monday.
Oh, my goodness.
And doctors say she's going to be fine and everything. However, I've been learning an awful lot about this. The doctor said in women that age, they have an advantage of their youth and being strong. However, disadvantage is by the time they catch it, find out, it's already stage two or maybe stage three.
Mm.
So a lot of healthcare professionals are saying, check your breasts at 40, start doing your stuff at 40. And you have a lot of young women who don't even, you know, they're doing other things in life, going to school, whatever, having kids, and it doesn't occur to them. We need to encourage these kids to start doing something sooner to catch it sooner. So we need somebody on. And in fact, there's a fantastic surgeon in the Theta Care system. Her name is Dr. Hani Bermas, B-E-R-M-A-S. She's fantastic. She's very knowledgeable. And, you know, just to see someone this age go through something
that could have been taught
a year or so or two sooner.
Mm. How's your daughter doing, John?
She's doing pretty well,
yeah, you know,
everything's considered. She's in a lot of pain, but mm-hmm, now she's just healing. I mean, she's actually doing well as that mm-hmm far, you know, as far as that goes. Mentally, she's doing fantastic. She's actually told people, I'm not going to let this kick my butt.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a better attitude than most people I know. And we know that she's going to kick it, with a lot of hard work and a lot of pain and a lot of things coming ahead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a tough cookie. She'll do very well, and thank you for asking. And another quick point on this, too. We've been, you know, I've been learning an awful lot about this lately, and I noticed nowadays things are becoming so specific and specialized. Like, case in point, she was getting MRIs and ultrasounds, and of course they send these things to so-called experts in the radiology and all that. She first of all was diagnosed, they said it was 3 centimeters, stage 2. When the doctor went in, it was 10 centimeters and stage 3.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Mm. So, you know, and looking, you know, I know, and then looking at bills, the person who read these, like, charged over $2,000, and it's like, it's three times the size that you diagnosed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it also looks like healthcare, problem with healthcare is not only, you know, everything else you brought up, but it's also everything, you know, going, instead of having a family GP or someone, you know, who does a lot, you get these so-called specialists who charge ungodly amounts of money, and there's really no check or balance. You know, they just kind of shrug their shoulders and say, that's not a perfect system, you know, to read.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be held accountable or something, you know, so.
All right, John, we'll look at this issue, and all the best to your daughter and to your family. You've been through it. Life is awful sometimes, isn't it?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, and thanks.
I got to let you go. Thank you.
All right, bye. Thanks, John. Thanks very much for the call. Okay, let's go to Ned in Wausau. Hi, Ned.
Hi. I'd like to see a show on U.S. non-military aid for foreign countries. Right now, it seems to be the whipping boy of the federal government, and one of the few things that almost all the senators and representatives seem to agree on. Mm-hmm. Not quite all of them, but quite a few, certainly a majority. I've been to Africa a number of times, and I've noticed I've gone on trips that were study tours, and USAID, the Agency for International Development, is doing fantastic work, especially in East Africa. And one person in Washington, D.C. that's in the program that is very informed and where has worked with it for decades is Sandra Jordan. And another one that is younger and has been in the field maybe 5 or 10 years that works underneath her is Heather DeAgnes, D-apostrophe-A-G-N-E-S. And either one of those would be outstanding guests for a show. And we just need to correct some of the misconceptions that are associated with non-military foreign aid, especially in family planning that allows families to space their children and helps them get out of poverty, and also equal opportunities in education for girls as well as boys, where we see in some of these developing countries, 12th grade is average education for a boy and 5th grade for a girl. And it's just no way that you can possibly get out of poverty if you have that kind of a system. An alternative for someone from Wisconsin is to discuss the Wisconsin Family Planning Waiver as another idea. And Lon Newman here in Wausau at Family Planning Health Services would be an excellent guest on that because he's testified before the state legislature a number of times. And we currently have the Family Planning Waiver that is a good one, but there's a lot of efforts right now to dismantle it. And what that does is it provides people that are low income with free contraception if they so choose between the ages of 15 and 44 years old. And there's a lot of efforts to get rid of that. But I would really like to see either one of those or both of those as shows in the future.
Okay. Thank you, Ned, very much for your call. We are continuing to take your phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. We also have email addresses in case you can't get through today or this sudden inspiration comes to you tomorrow instead of today of this would make a great show, because you never know what you'll encounter on any given day. Here are the email addresses, and I can just make it easy by saying they all end with at WPR.org. Let me repeat. They all end at WPR.org. So Chrissy's is Chrissy, no, just do Peace. Peace, P-E-A-S-E. Rhonda's is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G. And mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, and we're all at WPR.org. Send it to each of us. You know, together you can do it once so that we'll all get it and can discuss your suggestions. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to your calls, Patrick in Wauwatosa. Hi, Patrick.
Good morning.
Hi.
I would like to hear a show that deals with the various budget battles that are going on, both at the state level and at the federal level. But from the point of view of morality, I hear very little discussion. It's all about numbers.
you know, what we can afford, what we can't. And I find it interesting that some things we can afford without question, and things that basically help people seem to go on the chopping block very quickly. And with very little talk about the moral implications of it. So maybe somebody from, I don't know, clergy or moral philosophers or, you know, somebody that comes from that point of view, because I think people need to wake up a little bit to that notion. I have a very difficult time with the fact that it's all about money and not about people at all.
All right, Patrick, thank you very much for your call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. Bye. Clyde in Denmark. Hi, Wisconsin. Hi.
Good morning. I think we need to have a program on the outside groups that are buying so much advertising in the state and trying to influence our Wisconsin political process. I tried to find stuff on the internet about the ads for Prosser and Kloppenberg, and Kloppenberg's listed the people and contact information. Prosser, there was no way to find out who was providing the money. And also on the union conflict, when there was a lot of outside money, the pro-union groups listed people and contact information. The outside groups did not. Also, there's apparently a group from Utah for some reason that is sponsoring the recall of the Democratic senators. We need to have a show to find out why these outside groups are in on it and what their financing is.
Okay, thanks very much for the call. And I think it happens on both sides. It's not just the Democrats who are pure about this and the Republicans are not. That the Supreme Court decision last year allows us to have these kinds of ads and not have a clue who's paying for some of these, which a lot of people were worried about. So we can revisit that. We go to Linda from Madison. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Linda.
I know we had a caller at the beginning who talked about one area of the health care debate. I think it'd be interesting if you could get, the dean of nursing, either from UW-Madison or UW-Milwaukee, to come on and talk about how important nurses are going to be in the health care system.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically nurse practitioners, nurse midwives, and physician's assistants, they're all going to be needed because when the health care reform comes to fruition in 2014, these are going to be the people that you see first before you see your physician. And the more information we can get out there about what the role is now and what will it be in the future, we might help some young people or people right now who are thinking about a healthcare career decide to go there, and they'll be the people there ready when they're needed.
Excellent idea for a show, Linda.
You're welcome.
All right.
My mom's a nurse, so,
okay.
All right. I'll let other
they're
people
valuable.
Get on. Thank
all right.
You.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Linda. Bye. Paul in Duluth. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Screener, I was out walking my dog and listening to you on my headset. And the previous caller about the secret weapon that the military has and all that, I have always been wondering about why people fall for conspiracy theories. And I'm old enough to remember way back to when John Kennedy was shot, and then the AIDS epidemic was a secret military plot to kill gays, and it just goes on and on and on, all the way up to now, where you know this whole birther movement. I just am curious. What is that an American trait, or is that something that? I know, like when Princess Di was killed, the whole conspiracy there. But I'm puzzled by it, and I'm wondering if you could get somebody on to, is that part of the American psyche that We can't take yes for an answer, or what is it? I don't get it.
Maybe it's just that some of those events were so enormous that we just don't want to believe they happened, and so there has to be some other explanation.
I don't know. I don't know who you would call or to get on about
right.
it, but...
Oh, there are people. There are people.
And it just seems like that would be maybe a nice piggyback to the show you're going to have on Monday.
On Monday,
about
right.
people not believing in science anymore.
All right, Paul, how's your dog?
Oh, she's 17 years
I know.
Old, and she's got some arthritis, and we don't walk very far anymore, but...
But you still walk.
She's still kicking.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Paul.
Bye.
Bye. Jeff is next from Mukwonago.
Good morning. This is Jeff from Mukwa, and it's a beautiful day on the shores of Shawamigan Bay. Spring is in the air, and up here, not only do we look for robins, but we listen to the sound of the Harleys roaring around the corner, let you know it's that time of the year. And as a longtime biker for 34 years and a former owner of a parts and accessories and a mechanic shop, it would be great to give tips to the riders on how to maintain a 25 or 30-year record of riding without any incidents, including how to avoid deer and what type of equipment, and even some tips on maintenance on your motorcycle.
How do you avoid deer?
How do you avoid deer?
Yeah.
You assume there's always one the next quarter mile up that's going to jump out of the ditch. And when you ride, you constantly watch the ditches. You never just look straight ahead. And you never ride after dark, and you're aware of their movements, what time of the year, when they're in a rut, and so on. But there's a lot more to it than that.
Huh.
And I think that would make a good show for a lot of the motorcycle riders, whether it's a Harley or any other motorcycle. So,
well, maybe for drivers, too. It's not just
drivers also. We always assume that people over 65 were invisible to them. You come to a stop sign, and you're going by, and you look at them. They look right at you, and they pull right out in front of you. So,
people over 65? Uh-oh, you're in trouble. So a lot of people over 65 are good drivers, Jeff.
Man, and I'd be glad to offer my services even for that show.
Okay. Thanks very much for your call. Okay. Steve in Woodman. Hi, Steve.
Hello. I'm a correctional officer, and we had an inmate once that cut himself real bad, and he bled out. He laid in a pool of blood as big as I'd say half of a door and about a half inch thick.
Ew.
And we took him to the hospital. I was in the ambulance with him, and he was conscious. And we got him to the hospital, and the doctors sewed his veins back together. And I'd say this guy was pretty much blood. He was young. He was pretty much bled out. And I asked, they had him hooked up to a clear IV. And I said, oh, aren't you going to give him blood? And they said, no, he'll make his own. And that kind of shocked me. I thought, well, how can you do that? But I figured they knew their job. I just wonder, all the communities across this whole nation, people are giving blood. Some people buy the gallons over their lifetime. What is this blood being used for if a person can just make their own?
Yeah, I don't know what the intricacies were of that particular case, but obviously people need blood when they lose a lot of blood, so I'm not sure what that one was all about. But we could certainly do a program on when blood is needed and transfusions and donations, and we could do that angle. And thank you, Steve, very much for your call. One more call, maybe two, if we get them quickly. Greg, excuse me, in Watertown. Hi, Greg.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen. I have two show suggestions. One would be Professor John Eichard from the University of Missouri. He's an agricultural economist turned philosopher, ethicist. He talks a lot about capitalism and our Constitution and how things have morphed over the last 50 years especially, but since our country was founded, how we've really pulled away from what our founding fathers envisioned for our country. It's a great book, The Revolution of the Middle and the Pursuit of Happiness. And the second show I'd like to recommend is, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal, two or three weeks ago, and it was about shareholder capitalism versus stakeholder capitalism. and how capitalism has changed and how the ethical values have been stripped out of it, and now it's all about wealth for the shareholders as opposed to meeting the needs of the stakeholders. It was a fascinating article.
Okay. Thank you, Greg, very much for your call. Thanks, everybody, for your calls. If you didn't get through, here are the email addresses. It is Peace, P-E-A-S-E, Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, and I'm Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. We always like to hear from you and hear your suggestions. So I'll be with you again on Monday, all things political for our first hour. We always hear that Mondays at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock. Why is it that we don't want to believe certain things, even though they are scientific fact? What keeps us from believing what is true? That should be an interesting conversation. I hope you have a great weekend, and thanks to all of you for your many phone calls. We got some suggestions we'll definitely be following through on, so these are valuable for us. And fun for you, I hope. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network.